right. Well, what a blessing that was with the children's musical tonight, and they did a great job in helping us to understand a little bit about the day of Christmas. I'm just going to speak just a few minutes here before we're dismissed tonight, but in the book of John in chapter 20, two verses here tonight, John chapter 20 and verse 30 and verse 31. Let me just read it to you. The Bible says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, what a blessing it is to have opportunity to assemble ourselves together and to worship you in spirit and truth. And God, as we assemble ourselves together in your name, we know that you are here with us in our midst. And Father, I pray for each one that's here tonight that they would sense your presence in this place. We thank you for children who have a desire to study the scriptures, to memorize their parts, and to be able to present a program that would help us to understand the meaning of Christmas. And I just pray, God, that you would continue to allow what they have presented to us in song and in a skit to sink in. And then as we look to this passage of scripture, God, that you would use it to speak to each and every one that's here tonight concerning their belief in who Jesus truly is. Bless now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We find the Gospels are the first four books in the New Testament, and they are given so that we might know the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament, and so everything that you learn about the Old Testament, we find that it was in preparation for Jesus' coming and for make those principles biblical to applications for us to live by today. And so we find that Jesus Christ came, he fulfilled the Old Testament, and then he established New Testament Christianity. And as we believe in Jesus Christ and we receive him to be our personal Lord and Savior, then we are instructed to live a Christ-like life. And there's no way we can live a Christ-like life unless we understand what the life of Jesus Christ was all about. And so we have the first four books in the New Testament, they give us the life of Jesus Christ. They're called the Gospels. It's very important for us. And I believe that all believers, as you first get saved, the Bible says you come into the Christian faith as a babe, and then you grow as your understanding of Christ grows. And so the first four books of that every born-again believer needs to read and reread before they go anywhere else in the Bible is the Gospels, because you need to know what Christ was like, and you need to read for yourself his instructions to his disciples on how they should live their lives, because we, as we believe Christ, then we become the disciples as we look to follow after Jesus Christ. And so we have the first four books of the New Testament are called the Gospels. The book of John reveals more about who Jesus is. They look to him, and it's presented as the Son of God, the true Son of God. And so it reveals more about who he is than any other book in the Bible. And we find here in verse 31, the Bible says, "But these are written." Now, because Jesus Christ is eternal, and there was never a time when he was not, and there never will be a time when he's not. But he, in his eternity, in his deity, became man some 2,000 years ago. But he was God, and he's always been God. But he became man to give us an example of how mankind ought to live as to please God. He gave us an example of Christianity. And so we find here, the Bible says that all of the things that they would have written down, the books would not be able to contain it because he is eternal. And there's no end to that. But he said that which is written down. In verse 31, "But these are written that ye might believe." Our faith has to be based on something. Our belief in God has to be based on something. And our faith is based upon this Bible. What we believe is not coming from man. It's not coming from religion. What we believe comes from the Bible. The Bible is the authority of this church. It ought to be the authority of every born-again believer. And he says, these are written that ye might believe and that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the one that was prophesied that would come, the Savior of the world, the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by that believing ye might have life, a more abundant life here, and after this life, eternal life, and a glorified body, and a place of heaven, not a place like this earth. It won't be anything like this earth. Not a place with the atmosphere that we have here that we breathe. No, it will be totally different. It'll be a new heaven, a new atmosphere, a new earth, a new plan for life, and it'll be eternal life. So we find here that this is written. Through the virgin birth, we know that Jesus was God who became man. We preached on the virgin birth of Christ today and how it ought to bring encouragement to every born-again believer. But they're written down that we might understand the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, God becoming man. In the book of John, chapter 1, it gives us an account of the beginning. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. So the Word, whoever the Word is, was part of the creation of all things. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And verse 14 it says, and the Word was made flesh. Undoubtedly, that's Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten. That only begotten means one of a kind. Only one of a kind. The only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. To fully comprehend the person of God is way beyond our human capabilities, because He's eternal and we're not. He's the creator of heaven and earth. Can you imagine? Can you even fathom a creator of heaven and earth? He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's sovereign. He's eternal. He's infinite. He's immutable. And He's God in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. All three in one. Wow. To know that God is real and to know all that we can know about Him is one of the most important things that we can learn in this life. These things, the Bible says, and these are written. These are things that we should be mindful of, what are written down in the Bible, every day of our lives. If you understand what God has written down, preserved for us, that we can know about Him and about this life and eternal life, and about the spiritual warfare that we battle with every day of our lives, can I tell you, it will impact your life here like nothing else. It'll change your life, how you live your life on this earth like nothing else. They've been written down for us. The life of Christ on earth began with His birth. This Christmas, if you will, it's on our calendars. You look at your calendar, your U.S. calendar, the calendar we look to, A.B., before Christ, and after the death of Christ. It's marked the 25th of December, a day that should be a reminder that God became man. The 25th, it's on our Christian calendar. United States of America, we acknowledged it. The 25th. It was acknowledged as Christ's birth. Not all choose to acknowledge it today. Some choose to see it as just another American holiday. Some choose to look at it as just time off work or time off school. Some choose to look at it as just a time to receive and give presents. Some see it as a religious holiday, and some see it as a pagan holiday. We need to see it as the beginning of New Testament Christianity. For most of us, it represents the birth of the virgin birth of the Son of God. Something that is still beyond our comprehension when we truly understand that God became man. And then he laid his life down. After he lived a life that we could look to and follow after, he laid his life down, paid a sin debt with his sinless blood. If he was born of man, then he would not have sinless blood. There have been other men that are crucified on the cross, but none have ever been crucified with sinless blood. The bloodline comes from the male, the father. We find that Adam, because of his sin, passed down from generation to generation a sin nature to all people. Because of that sin nature, then we are on our way to a devil's hell, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, how we need to acknowledge a day when God became man and dwelt among us as the only begotten of the Father. There's been a lot of songs written that helps us to be mindful of this. And of course, the children presented several of those. And let me just tonight, just to remind you of some of what they sang and what the words were, even as we sang in congregational songs, the silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight. Glory steam from heaven afar, a heavenly host sing hallelujah. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love, pure light. Radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord of thy birth, he's Lord at his birth, Jesus, Lord at thy birth. The Lord of lords and King of kings came to us as a baby, as an infant. Yeah. Right over the page, it's away in a manger. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet hay. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children and thy tender care and take us to heaven to live with thee there. That's what he can do for us. He can give you a peace that passes all understanding. He can give you a joy of the Lord, which is the joy of the Lord is our strength. He can give you comfort. He can give you purpose for life, and he can take you to heaven after this life. Yeah, I love one other in our songbook here. It's Joy to the World in 423. The message is Joy to the World. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And the last stanza says, he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love and wonders of his love. Another one over the page is 424 is, O come all ye faithful. And again, these were inspired and they were written down. And just we sing them, but do you listen to the message of song? All about helping us to understand what Christmas is. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come, ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Yea, Lord, we greet thee. Born this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Then one last one I'm going to read to you tonight in 429. It says, hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. Come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home. Rise, the woman conquered seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now efface, stamp thine image on his head. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Hark the angel, herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. But these are written. There's so much truth. There's so much written. There's so much evidence that ye might believe. I don't know how anybody could not believe, and yet multitudes turn away from Jesus Christ, turn away from a gift of everlasting life. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. In order to have eternal life, you first of all need to believe. And as you believe, you need to receive the gift that Jesus Christ wants to offer all mankind. If you receive that gift, then you have everlasting life. Wow. This Christmas, this December 25th, make sure that you understand the true meaning of what Christmas is. I could have every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute here tonight. The Bible is what we put our faith in. It reveals everything that man needs to know about eternity past, eternity present, eternity future. The question tonight is, do you believe? And if you believe, have you received Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior? If you have not, then we invite you tonight to come to this altar and do what the Bible says you must do in order to have this gift of everlasting life. Father, we bow before you tonight. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for what we've heard here tonight, enjoyed in the children's program, and what we've looked at in this John chapter 20, this just to see that we have written down, recorded, and you've preserved it for us so that we can know who Jesus is. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that's lost and that possibly in the past turned away, but they've come here tonight, and once again, they've come under this conviction of knowing who Jesus is and receiving him as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray, God, if there's someone here tonight that's under the conviction of your Holy Spirit, that they would come to this altar, let someone take a Bible and share with them what they must do in order to be saved, so that you can give them that gift of everlasting life even here tonight. Just pray that you'd work in the midst, blessing this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.